Dark files open wide. Secrets learned, none will hide. Rising stars forged in fire. Future legends climbing higher. Ropes and fists.
Hey everybody, it's Matt Michaels here on the DeFalco Files with the owner and creator of FSW, the Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas, Mr. Joe DeFalco. Joe, I guess the big word of the week is wow.
Wow, yeah, it's just been busy, 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 you know. I keep saying how busy it is. It keeps being busy. I haven't even been down there, and I've been dealing with everything over there.
What is the most overwhelming aspect of something like this? Because it's a big production. You've got a lot of people who are working on it, who are locals here, either have worked for FSW in the past or work for FSW currently, students, etc. Is it something that, the phone is just constantly going off the hook and you got to put out fires or you got to, solve issues? What is the biggest, thing about having an outside company like this who are, essentially recording what, like 3 months of episodes? It's amazing.
Well, yeah, their entire, which I just found out, I didn't know. I just knew they were down there. I didn't know they were filming their entire season.
Yeah.
In four sections, last Tuesday and Wednesday. Yesterday and the day before. And then next week they're filming again Tuesday and Wednesday. And that will be, so you can know all the spoilers. I hope I can bet it. Maybe one of the online sites, I can hit up my boy Dave McLean and we get some insider trading going.
You have that going on, but at the same time, you have coming up here on Saturday, October 18th, 7 p.m., Day of Reckoning at the FSW Arena. We just saw Brittany Brooks will defend that FSW Women's Championship for the first time against Dana Lynn.
Yeah, along with Gypsy Mac and Maserati chomping at the bit for their next opportunity.
Yeah. You're going to see the Unguided going against the Pump Line. And we talked a little bit about the Pump Line being from SoCal in the San Diego area. What does it mean for those guys to come in here and get a chance to not only show what they can do, but get a chance to do it with Matt and Damian? That's a pretty, good showing for your first time here in terms of guys you want to work with who will be able to give you honest feedback and say, hey, these guys can cut it or these guys were in it.
Yeah. Well, I guess they have worked them and then, was looking for a team and they recommended them saying that they thought very highly of them. So Win or lose, if they go out there and they produce, well, here's another team that could be on the horizon. So, without looking, we're always looking. It's funny. It's like, we got more than enough guys. We got more than enough talent on the show. We don't need anything else. And then something walks in and it's like, oh, kind of need to use these guys. And it's crazy how the roster never thins. It's like, oh, somebody leaves for a while, and then somebody gets hurt, and somebody comes back. And now all of a sudden it's an overfilled roster that you're like, man, how are you going to make this happen? And we've been able to. And like I said, you know, our roster was really solid. And you go a year ago, and then you see, and it's like, wow, we've added Luke Curtis. We've added Layla Gray. We've added, you know, Hero coming back. We got Shogun came back, you know, and the Unguided are now back. And Jay Vidal is back full time. So it's crazy that, and then Young Money's kind of developed, and you know, we got these tag teams, and we got the women's division, and Dana Lynn came back after a couple years off, and now Trisha Dora lives in town, and we have her, and it's just like, man, the cup is full, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. One of the, I think, big opportunities here is Luke Curtis getting a chance at the FFW No Limits Championship. You know, Luke is really going to, I think, give Dante a kind of a awakening here and kind of see, you know, what Dante is really made of, because I think Luke is chomping at the bit here.
Say that again? About,
I think Luke is chomping at the bit here. I think Dante is going to have a lot to prove.
Well, yeah, you know, Dante King's going to need to have eyes in the back of his head because, you know, Jordan Oasis is also on that horizon.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, doesn't seem like for what might have been easy sailing for Dante, might be coming a little more rough waters ahead. Jordan Oasis, of course, going to go against Adrian Rain. You know, Adrian getting a little chance there. Is it fair to say that, you know, coming off the WWE IED program, you know, Jordan has now a little bit of a chip on his shoulder?
Oh, yeah, there's definitely no doubt. And then when he knocked the motherfucker out in one shot, that kind of, you know, that's really the spark that's got to be going on right there. And, you know, same thing with Ice Williams, that they were just the first of many dominoes that have fallen. So, you know, it's nothing personal, obviously. Yeah. And in this business, you know, look across. Here's a guy everybody thought the world, NXT champion, all of a sudden gets jobbed out to Jeff Hardy in no time, and he's out the door, and he's wrestling in FSW again. Yeah. And then in no time, he's back, and he's presented with the opportunity that it looks like he's going after Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre. He got the Drew McIntyre, and then that dissipated, and he had nothing until he had about 8 months left on his contract, and all of a sudden he got huge. And right. Then they didn't come to terms, and now he's wrestling in FSW again.
So do you think Kevin's doing it just to keep upping his price at FSW? Is that his ultimate goal?
I think so. You know, I'm probably the only guy he ever worked for free.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, but we won't talk about how he didn't pay dues certain months and things like that. But, you know, he had a higher escalation of pay because, you know, the Young Bucks, they started at 75.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And, you know, when we were using them, I believe at the IWF shows back in the day in Phoenix, like I think the most they got here was probably maybe 300. I don't know. But they were getting like, I think 750 at one point when we were doing the IWF shows.
Yeah, sure.
And now you're lucky if you add that zero that they would be capable of working for you.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you could probably get Papa Buck for, $75 if you want the old man to make an appearance. So, all right.
Yeah, he likes FSW.
Yeah, of course. Triple threat match, JKM, Davion, and Bodie are going to be mixing it up in that one. Going to see Duke versus Jay Vidal. Jay was kind of, shall we say, forced into that match is the best way to put it.
Well, yeah, Bateman, the handpicked opponent. That was the gimmick. You know, that's what happens when you make a stipulation in a match and you end up losing. You usually, when you lose that stipulation, you usually don't come out of it getting what you want. Kind of crazy. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, he wanted the cash in the case. He was willing to, you know, put himself up for it. And yep. Now, you know, people laugh. Hey, yeah, it'll be a fun time. Well, Bateman ain't making it easy for Jay by now.
Yeah. Yeah. And, it's been interesting to see, and it's only going to get more interesting when he goes against that big monster of a man in Duke.
Who you know is very, very angry at this moment.
Yeah, of course. You know, we got the Poor Boys going against Transcendence for the tag team championship. Talking about your tag teams, Transcendence, man, how do they keep those titles when you have so much, just running at you? It seems like they now are going to be heavily pursued by about a dozen tag teams with all the people that are out there.
I guess you could say people are coming back, you know, the Unguided, you got the Suavecitos, you know, they're still in the midst of dealing with guys like the Mariachi Montaña, who both of them will be on their way to Saudi Arabia for Power Slap.
Oh, there you go. That's interesting.
So they will not be at the show on the 18th.
Yeah. Well, good luck to them out there in the Power Slap competition. And, I'm pretty sure Jordan Oasis is going to be highly sought after now on Power Slap. So you might start losing him again.
You know, you knock guys out in one shot. Look at Stunt Marshall. You know, he did it again. Well,
yeah, it's crazy.
So this guy's made like 30K in two fights and hasn't had to even get a scratch on him.
Yeah.
He hasn't been touched. That is insane.
Yeah, it's amazing. And we'll also see on Day of Reckoning the Faction Summit.
The wild card segment of the show. Because, you know, it could be a dud or it could be a big hit. You know, we're going to see. You know, they're entertaining guys. But, you know, I'm not sure I want to see a 20-minute discussion on, you know, why Demir Morningstar should be in the faction. should be behind closed doors. I think they should handle it myself. But, you know.
Well, I mean,
this is
one of those segments where you've got like a 10 written on the timesheet and it goes 32.
Oh, I got flashbacks of going back there screaming at those guys like, what the fuck were you talking about? They're all looking around like, dude, like 25 minutes, I'll never get back of my life.
Well, that brings up a great point. When you have, let's say, some talent go over 5 minutes, 10 minutes, something like that. But if they're concise, if they're making the points, if it's not just a free form ramble, does that kind of rein it back in for you as long as everything is hitting the points? Because, you know, some of these guys who really are very good at, you know, like Cross, you're not going to tell, you know, Cross, what the fuck was that? Because everything he says is direct.
Yeah, there have been times where it was like, what the fuck? I think he could have did that in half the time. Because a lot of times, you know, people have an idea and then they're waiting for the crowd. And it's like, okay, you got to get through this.
Right.
You know, I get it. They're booing you. They're cheering you. Whatever. You want to get the accolades. You want to get the heat. And that becomes a really gray area, because when you're there, you're out to sea. And sometimes you're thinking that people seem to be more interested in what you're saying than they really are.
Sure.
And a lot of times, like, I see what guys are saying and I'm like, get to the fucking point already. Like, you're beating around the bush and you're hesitating and this, and it's like, oh, because somebody yelled and you kind of stop and you start all over. It's like, dude, you got to get there.
Because you can
do 6 minutes and it feels like you did 2 minutes, or you can do 6 minutes and it feels like it's 26 minutes.
Yeah.
And there's nothing worse than 6 minutes feeling like 26 minutes. Because, you know, other people have to follow you. And other people have to, like, now try to get the crowd back because you've lost them. And that's why there's certain people that you see with the microphone. Like, I've been pleasantly surprised at how entertaining Bateman's been on the mic, especially with this Jay Vidal thing. There was some stuff that I'm laughing out loud, funny, like that was hilarious. You know, I'm not sure it was meant to be, but it was entertaining. And the crowd's into it because they like Jay Vidal. And Bateman has really gotten an opportunity, because it's that dryness of the humor, and, you know, he's a very serious guy. So when Bateman comes across that way, you know, it's a side of him that, you know, if you know him from Ring of Honor and things like that, you never saw that side of Bateman.
Right.
So you're getting to see, and the entertainment aspect, really, to this day, it means more and more and more, especially now the way WWE is run, that the fan base is more into, and our fans have always been like that. They care about that story. Yeah. You know, good wrestlers are good wrestlers. Yeah, that's cool. Hey, that JKM, that was a great move, blah, blah, blah. But they love the stories. From day one in FSW, we've been a story-driven company.
Yeah.
And that's what sets us apart from pretty much every company in this town, because it's kind of just, and again, some of these matches are great, I ain't gonna deny that, but at FSW you're gonna see a consistent storyline. In most cases, things could happen, you know, everything in independent wrestling can change in the blink of an eye. Who's not available, who got signed, who got hurt, you know. But we try to be as consistent as possible in telling the stories. And, you know, it's extremely important to the fans, because that's what they want to see. And sometimes that story is told a lot later down the line. And sometimes we don't know where it's going. And then it's like, oh, wow, this is really good.
Sure. Yeah.
But it can never be really good if you have no game plan other than A's wrestling B this week. And then next week, A's wrestling C. It's like we're trying to make it consistent, make you want to care, make you not want to miss a show.
Right.
Yeah. It's easy to miss an independent wrestling show. What'd you miss? Oh, yeah. No Limits champion beat the challenger. The Nevada State champion won. The champion got jumped sharp by somebody. And it's like, what did it lead to? Oh, pretty much nothing. Well, I don't want it to lead to pretty much nothing. I'm a wrestling fan. So I want stuff that looks good. When I see stuff, and there's stuff that you do and it doesn't work right. I always remember a diversion when we did the double elimination.
Yeah.
And it was big names. It was Juicy and EC3. Yeah. But for whatever reason, it came across as a dud. And I thought, wow, this is going to be great. And it really wasn't. That happens. And then there's things that you're like, eh, not the biggest deal. And all of a sudden, it's like, boom, it explodes. And people are all of a sudden behind somebody that you didn't expect them to get behind.
Yeah.
Because you're always trying to create a star. You're trying to give a person an opportunity to connect with the crowd.
Right. Chief has a great question here. How do you fit everything into a certain amount of time that you have for a show?
Well, you know, you try to rely on the best talent that you have in a situation. You don't want to give a newer guy who's not that over a platform to implode. You know, you want to give him that chance to succeed. You know, we brought along a Luke Curtis. We thought we had something in him. I don't know. You know, he's not done a ton of stuff. He's an OVW. Now he's an NWA. And for whatever it is about him, he's kind of clicked. You know, he wins the Nick Bockwinkel Battle Royal. He eliminates Kenny King. You know, he got an opportunity because he, even though he was new to everybody else, he wasn't new. So he was easier to put in a good situation because he already understood what that is. When you have a younger guy doing it, man, that's the deer in headlights. You don't know if he's going to sink or swim. You know, I've talked about the Adrian Reigns, the Mere Morning Stars. When they first started, man, you want to talk about shit in the bed and having to pull them out of Future Shock. When I put you in a match with Gregory Sharp and you're lost, you need to go back to the drawing board. I see you being able to do the stuff, the moves, and you look like you could do really good stuff. But when it was put into the match setting, some of you guys didn't work that well early on. And they had to take a step back and they learned and they get and maybe they became less stubborn. Demir, for example, started riding and working around with Fresco and Watson. Well, those guys weren't the fucking smartest in the fucking in the pack. You know, they had to learn. And that's what happens when you're younger. You're learning. You think you know it all. It's the same thing as everybody when they're like, oh, yeah, I got this idea. It's like, yeah, when you were 12-year-old, you wanted to be a wrestler. You said, when I become a wrestler, this is what I'm going to be. Well, now you're 26, and this fucking gimmick or idea that you had is probably dumb as fuck. But sometimes you want to give it a shot. You know, sometimes you want to see Tommy Danger become Sugar Brown.
Yep.
And you swear Sugar Brown is an accomplished amateur boxer when you see him and the way he presented himself. And that was closer to being a version of him, but it really wasn't. But he picked up on it. But he learned as these younger guys, that's what gives you that opportunity. Bret the Threat, the Suavecitos. Here's two brash young guys that thought they knew everything and realized they didn't know everything. They had to go elsewhere to realize they didn't know everything. And then when they came back, they had a greater appreciation of the entire staff of the Kenny Kings of the world, and Remy and Cody and Sin and you know, Bateman now, and TJP when he shows up. When all these guys are giving you info and they're trying to make you absorb some knowledge, there's a good reason to try and listen. You know, just because I didn't wrestle, you know, don't be like, oh, yeah, what does he know, blah, 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 blah. Because I'm kind of telling you the same thing because I've learned. I've done it for 16 years of watching and watching and watching. I'm not trying to tell you something to fucking bury you, you moron. I'm trying to get you to where you're a viable product.
Sure.
You know, how many times can I say I would have rather much used, you know, Che and Tito and all these other guys that I didn't put on shows to try to give you younger guys an opportunity.
Yeah. Oh, it makes sense. After what we have coming up here, on the 18th, on the Saturday, we have a Thursday show, October 30th at 7 p.m. at the FSW Arena, the Devil's Night. It's going to feature the Unguided, but some of the other talent on this show, again, shaping up to be pretty good.
The Halloween show is always going to be one of the favorites of the FSW fan base. They get to dress up. You know, Heather always has a really great costume. She puts a lot of time and effort to look like a wrestler back in the Whirlwind Gentleman days with the suit and the fro and everything. And it's like, you know, it's a great opportunity. Plus, it's a great opportunity for the really young students who've put in the work, not ready for matches, and they get to dress up as their favorite wrestler, and they get to be even a guy like Beans, who hasn't wrestled yet, but he's gotten to be in the Battle Royal. You know, it was a viral moment.
Is he going to come out as Travis Scott and ruin the Battle Royal this year?
I think he should. That should be the recommendation. Because I always see stuff and I make a recommendation. Like, hey, you should go as this. Hey, you should go as that. You know. But, you know, don't be a small, skinny guy and say, hey, I'm going to go as the Ultimate Warrior. You know what I mean? And not dress up or not do anything. You know what I mean? And just run around the ring. You know, the idea is to become the character, to become, you know, that. And that's what makes it more fun. As I said, the Battle Royal, who cares? It's the entrances to the Battle Royal that everybody cares about. And it'd be like, hey, we got a 10-minute entrance for the Battle Royal, and the Battle Royal starts and it's over in four. You know, it's the moment that we're trying to create. I was just informed, very disappointingly. I'm looking, and I'm like, where the fuck did the casket go? So I saw Rocky. Where's the casket? The casket broke. So something happened, I guess, last year. So the casket match will now be a medical-grade stretcher match. So we have the push cart, you know, where they push them. And so it's going to be a stretcher match. So we'll announce that soon. Saturday, you know, we'll announce that next week.
It's like you're going backwards from burial to hospital. Too bad you guys don't have an ambulance around. You do an ambulance match.
We could for like 500. But yeah, you know, buried alive match. You know, too bad we don't have a backyard. We can dig it.
Oh man. In on that show, looks like you know, it's going to be something, you know.
Well, just realize if the Po' Boys win, their faces are going to go on top of Transcendence. So.
Right. And same with you got Brittany there. So, you know, if she loses her title.
Well, she's going to be there either way. So we got Gypsy will be on hand. Fallon Gray will be back. Son Lu will be on hand. Yep. Either with his APA partner Shogun or defending the Nevada State Championship. Ice Williams will be on hand. You know, he may have never left and he was still talking from Day of Reckoning. You never know. Right.
Chief, a medical grade stretcher is the one with the wheels, not just the mortar board where you
yes. pull them up. Yeah, that's kind of what I was figuring.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's that big. We used it many years ago in a match at the Silverton between Clutch and Killer Gorilla. And that went over pretty well. And I remember Killer Gorilla looking, and he was shocked because there was like 500-600 people there, and he had never worked in front of that many people before. And he was like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah, there are a lot of people. And yeah, that was a big match for him.
Well, that's amazing. You know, you're speaking of, you know, a match that happened in the past. And this week you posted this on Facebook. Okay, memories of 10 years ago when Kevin defended the championship against Hammerstone.
Was that when the ring was broke? The rope?
I think it would have been, right? Because
I remember the main event, I'm pretty certain, was them two when the top rope broke. And at that point, we couldn't fix it. So we had to wrestle like half the show with no top rope.
Yeah, it's confirmed.
There you go. Because I remember, Tito and Che, it might have been during their match, I believe. Because that's why I wasn't positive if they had been wrestling the Gods of War, or which would have been Hammerstone on that show. But obviously, right. I thought it was Cross and Hammerstone back then. So,
yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's, I mean, 10 years, man. And again, look at the best thing about this. Look at the baby faces there. Of.
It's funny. Hammerstone looks older than Cross there.
Right. You know, when you think of that evolution in a 10-year period of time, you know, a decade later, and of course, you know, at Luck of the Draw, you know, Hammerstone will be there and Cross will be there. Does it strike you, you know, because that's almost that 10-year time span is it's almost been half of FSW's time span, right? You know, you're closing in on 20
even more to almost two thirds.
Yeah. So, you know, for you to look at not only the growth of those two guys as performers, but you look at them as people. You know. Is that something that aspect of it, seeing, you know, guys who go on to, you know, have, you know, just very good lives because of their livelihood in wrestling, and become, you know, some really fascinating and incredible people. Is that something that is very rewarding? Because again, you know, when you see someone at 22, 24, 26 versus, you know, when they're in their late 30s, you know, now you're seeing the maturity of that person and what they bring to it. Hell, Kevin's wrote a freaking book in that time frame. You know, it's just kind of mind blowing.
Well, yeah, you know, Hammerstone was a guy who had to get rides with people because he couldn't rent a car because he was less than 25. So, yeah, you know, don't age him. He's not in his late 30s yet.
Right,
you
know? Right.
No, but he's been around. But he's been around for so long, you know. He's been around, you know, almost half his life.
Right.
You know, he was probably 19, 20 years old when I first started using him. And again, it's like, you know, I always pride myself on trying to find that young talent. Like, look at Toa Leona. You know, I was the first company that he worked for outside of Rikishi's to where he worked in front of a crowd.
Right.
You know, and he quickly got signed up. You know, Hammerstone didn't work anywhere other than Arizona and these little shithole places. And I was going through stuff and I saw somebody I knew. And then I saw this thing that said Hammerstone. And I'm like, hey, there's something about this green, raw kid. You know, now I don't know. I've seen a lot of green, raw kids that look like, hey, this could be the next big deal. But you know, you know pretty soon about their work ethic, what they're willing to do. You know, there's guys. You got the Arizona crew. You always like to see, and you look at the transformation of a Devin Reno from when he first started, and how seriously he takes this. It isn't like, hey, I'm coming to go wrestle some shows. That's cool, whatever. And then you see the other guys that look like they have talent, but they kind of coast on it, and they're just happy that they're getting to wrestle outside of their home base, and they get to wrestle some shows. But you see the other ones who, you know, it's easier to see locally because you could see the Chris Bay wanting to come in and use the facility. We've seen Lacey Ryan want to use it, and Matt Vandegrift and Brad and all these guys who want to come in and spend extra time. And you see the people that are like, especially that live in town now, as you learn, people that are wrestling for AEW that live here. And they come by a couple of days a week while they're still out on the road getting more work in because they're not content with what they are, where they're at. And it's like, why are you the indie guy who does, you're lucky if you do one show a week. Why are you content with showing up less times to train than that guy who's got a contract? But he now doesn't. He's got a contract where he may not have to work for a living, but he's also having a contract that doesn't make him own a big car and a nice big house. It's he's got a nice place. He's got a decent car. He wants better. And by putting in the time and effort, obviously wrestling is where he wants to take it. While some of these younger guys are just so complacent, I guess is the word. Happy with where they're at. Oh, I got to be on the show. Oh, I get to be. It's like, wow, that's great. You get to be on three Vegas shows this month. Who cares?
Right.
Like, who wants to pay you to drive 4 hours to wrestle for them? Because there's something about them that you love, that the, something about them that the promoter likes. It's like when I first started, I had no fan base. I had no wrestler base in Vegas at that point. Rush had his school long gone. Funny Bone was like the only guy in Vegas who was really still kind of like a wrestler, you know? So what did I do? I had to go search. And the guys that I came up with was Ryan Taylor, Brandon Gatson, the Young Bucks.
Right.
Wasn't the Cutlers. It was the Cutlers came because of the Young Bucks, but Brandon Cutler's kind of done some stuff. Okay. And then it was Mike Modest crew. And it was, you know, who he would bring to the shows. And then it became, okay, I hooked up with Navajo Warrior, and he brought Gallo, and they brought Mike Knox, and they brought the Cowboy Yates, and he couldn't make it because he had a rodeo. But then through us, we met Derek Nykerk, and Derek was from Phoenix, but he lived in Cincinnati doing the HWA with Les Thatcher.
Right.
And he had a guy, Tyson Tyler. And that was how we had that crew. And then we got hit up by the NorCal guys because of Funny Bone. And that's where we got the Commandos and Chupacabra and the and Sheik.
Yeah.
Now Dark Sheik.
Yeah.
And it was packets and pockets of places because the Vegas guys were Funny Bone, Legacy, and really not much.
Right.
Like, we didn't even have a tag team. Other than Funny Bone and Legacy, they were the only two Vegas guys. You know, yeah. Hey, we're doing it at the Rancho Swap Meet. We think it's going to have a really big Latin lucha-y type thing. So I found some guys there, Cyanide and Vintage Dragon. They became the tag champs. And they got over real strong in Extreme Loco because we were going to do a thing with Modest because he was doing the Border Patrol. And that's how that started. And then it intertwined. So now we had the Arizona base. We had the NorCal base, which was Modest Pro Wrestling Iron Crew.
Yeah.
With the Sacramento guys, which led to the Reno Scum coming down pretty quickly. And then Brian Cage was 2009. So that was the first big show because we got hit up. And then Ricker, LA Knight, he hit us up. And that roster continued to grow. Then we did the school. And then we started finding some people because Legacy had a school. So some of the younger guys were starting to catch on, which was the Sugar Browns. You know, Remy had moved away because there was no place in town. He ended up coming over, moved back to Vegas.
Yeah.
And then we were starting to utilize, and then we were starting to grow. But everything was based off bringing in talent.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's crazy. You know, in 2009, I got in touch with Ryan Taylor. Something about him. Guy ended up being signed by WWE. Yeah. 7 years later. You know, it wasn't like it was, you know, a year and a half later. Like, this guy was raw and green. And I think that's been what my number one skill set is seeing something in people that, you know, have a good future.
Yeah.
And being with them, and then they look down at you and say, you know what, here was the guy, one of the first guys. That's why you ask Hammerstone, you ask Cage, that ask Ricker, and he mentions me at a WWE show. So obviously the respect's there because they're grateful that I gave them the opportunity, but not only the opportunity, but I put them in positions. You know, the early Sean Ricker was wrestling Roderick Strong and wrestling Brian Kendrick and bringing in people and Kenny King and guys that had already, you know, Kenny King, he was already established the minute he walked in that FSW. He was a Ring of Honor guy.
Right.
You know, but I had known Kenny before that when he was nothing. He was a tough enough guy who didn't win, you know, who was still green as green can be. So
he wasn't necessarily nothing, Joe. He was a very seasoned male performer on the strip.
Yeah, but was he at that point? I don't think he was in 2001. I don't think he was a champion yet.
Yeah.
So all these guys, you know, which now when a guy like Brian Cage got to be on shows and Gatson and all those good people got to work him. And then Remy gets to work the Sean Rickers and Kenny Kings, and the progression grows as the younger guys get those opportunities. That's what ends up happening. You know, the Jacob Austin Youngs, who thinks, hey, we're going to have him wrestle Rocky Romero. Well, who's the guy that basically had to hire him for New Japan? So he kind of knew of him, kind of watched him, kind of worked with him. And then when the TJP put him over, knew who he was, knew he was a good dude, saw his stuff, saw the progression, and things were happening. And that's how this wrestling crazy business is, you know, as good as you can be, there's guys better than you. So yeah. The question becomes, how do you get seen? And we're in that fortunate platform. You can go anywhere you want, but if you don't think it's important to be here, see ya. Don't need you. I got a million motherfuckers who want to be here.
Yeah. Speaking of guys who, came up through the system, of course, Chris Bay is going to be the special guest host of Luck of the Draw on Sunday, November 23rd. Man, it's great to see Chris, getting the love and, just this past weekend, being able to go out to the TNA show and the way that they, have, just been there and allowing him to be a part of it. It's just, it really is just something, beyond words that, he's been able to do this. He's been able to start teaching the classes.
Yeah. He's
so great.
Monday he'll be there. He'll get there at like 2 o'clock and you'll have the crew, which is, a lot of the people who have actually kind of done things and they're working and, AEW's, Top Flight. And Trisha Dora and Layla Gray, and then it brings Luke and some of the younger kids, and Brittany's there, obviously. And then when we do shows like we did, and a Fallen Grace stays over and comes in and trains. And now Chris's day starts at 2, and then he runs the class. And on Monday every other week, and Bateman every other week, wow. That's pretty good core.
Yeah.
On Mondays. So you want to train to be a wrestler and you're going to think that, hey, on Mondays, I got Chris Bay or Tyler Bateman. On Tuesdays, I got Sin Bodhi and Rip Rogers.
Right.
On Wednesday, I got Kenny King or Gregory Sharp or Chris Bay. Thursday, I got Cody. Friday, I got Remy.
Right.
How do you show up one day a week to train?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's the other
thing. Even the Monday that Chris trained, of course, 5 people show up to help set up the ring and train with Chris. So it's like, wow, is it because we're setting up the ring because you have to do an hour's worth of work? I don't get it.
Well,
and it just makes me get so fucking irritated sometimes. And it's like, yeah, you're paying to be there when you want to be there. But it's like, man, right. For people who want things, you think you'd put in a bit more of an effort.
Well, and the other thing too is that, I think back, UPW, we didn't have the options, right? You had to get to a certain level to be able to just, go to this class. Everything was structured. So you could only go to your class on Tuesday and your class on Saturday.
Yeah, and I remember when they had the student shows when the Riggs brothers, because they had nothing in Vegas. They were at Rush's, that was done, and John and Jason. And, man, it was such a – and these guys had been doing it for a few years. It wasn't like they were doing it for 8 months. And it was such a big moment for them to get on the student showcase.
Yeah.
Like that was the goal. And like here, it's just like, and again, the mindset is totally different. And, it's funny. It's like the way you're taught and how you listen and what you expect from things. It's like it's a totally different world. And it's like not just in the wrestling, it's just in the real world, how people react to things or think. It was like yesterday, one of the guys, and it was like, oh, yeah, I'll swing around and help out. I'm like, dude, this is not how this works, bro. This is a structured thing with WOW. You want to be there, you're going to get paid instead of just helping out for free. But this is what I need from you. It's not that difficult. I need your name, your fucking phone number, and your email address. You send it to me. I send it to them. That way you have to go there and you have to check in with somebody. And like this morning, I wake up at 8 o'clock in the morning and I have the 11 names and the times that they worked because it's my job to get everything coordinated.
Right.
Okay. And like the guys are like, oh, I work this many hours. I'm like, okay, that's great. They're giving me what they that you worked. And right. In most cases, it's right. Like, hey, one guy got paid an extra half hour. He's like, oh, it was like 5 o'clock to like almost 8:40. Oh, we've been paid 8:30 or 9. I'm like, I have no fucking clue. But then when they sent me the thing, they paid them till 9, you know? And like right. I said, like, I was stunned at how many hours. Like, wow, you know, you're paying out $5,000 to staff.
Yeah.
To just do cleanup and tear a ring down to put it back up over there the next day.
Yeah.
And there's times you're doing stuff that somehow is taking 11 hours of five people being there with you.
Yeah.
Like, man, are you unloading trucks for 11 fucking hours? But it's basically their whole wardrobe that there's two U-Haul trucks and, sure. and it's crazy. And it's like, you know, it's mind-boggling how much they spend on everything.
It is typical.
Hang on.
Yep.
Hold on to the dog.
Yeah. So, getting my carpet done. They did it. Now they had to do the stairs on Wednesday. So now they got to inspect the area. It was like, weren't you fucking here last week inspecting the area? It was like everything was measured and you didn't have enough stuff.
Well, so. I mean, just like Hollywood production, it's wasted man hours.
Yeah. So let me wrap this up because we're going to have to talk to
people. So yeah, absolutely. So final thoughts as we go into the Day of Reckoning this Saturday.
Big show. We got the women's titles are going to be on the line. The tag titles are on the line. The No Limits title is now on the line. We got Jay Vidal and Duke in a big match.
Hey.
And I got my dog going crazy. Yes. Oh my God, he was landing on his head. So, but big show on Saturday. Jordan Oasis, the Unguided are making their return. So it's going to be a big show. You know, we're setting everything up. 2 weeks from then, we have the Halloween show. And then we got Luck of the Draw with Cross and Hammerstone and Kenny King, as well as Chris Bay hosting. So we got a lot of great stuff. So hit us up. Come see us on Saturday.
Well, there you go. And again, if you, for whatever reason, either can't get out or are not in Vegas, you can check it out. What is it called? What's the network called again? The Cage?
Title Match Network.
Title Match. That's it. I don't know why I was thinking Cage Match. So check it out on Title Match if you can't get to Vegas. Until next week, everybody. Enjoy your week and happy wrestling.